Inside Sources.
Inside Sources.
America's voice of reason. Boyd Matheson.
On Utah's home for elevated conversation.
Inside Sources on KSL News Radio.
Of course, the headlines continue to be filled with everything from protests on college campuses, what's happening in the Middle East. We have pro-Palestine, pro-Israel. And as is usually the case, we're getting lost in the headline and we're missing the nuance of what is underneath. So it's time to think again about what we think we know about pro-Palestine, pro-Israel, and the issues that matter most. Let's begin.
Think you know the news of the day? Think again with Boyd Matheson on KSL News Radio.
Well, it's very easy in all of the headlines and the clamor and chatter on social media and in national news to get lost in all of this. There's such a great conflation of terms that just make it really easy to create these fake fights, false choices, moral equivalence, and all of those things. And someone who's getting us to step back and think again about what we think we know in relationship to all of this is Judith Levine, a Brooklyn journalist and essayist. A fantastic piece getting into what the nuances are when we use terms like pro-Palestine or pro-Israel. And Judith, welcome to the show.
Thanks. Good to be here.
Really fascinating piece. Love the way you approach this. And let's just start from the baseline in terms of how we have conflated so many things into some pretty shorthand terminology that in many ways is getting us no closer to getting resolution on anything.
That's right. I mean, we could certainly say that maybe newspapers are using pro-Palestine and pro-Israel simply because they're short enough to stick in a headline. I've been a headline writer myself, so I know that. But yes, many people who are supporting liberation in Palestine or an end to the bombardment by Israel of Gaza are not pro-Palestinian in the sense that they want there to be a single ethnic state of Palestinians in the space between the Jordan River and the Mediterranean Sea. And similarly, people who care about Israel or want Israel to stop, you know, bombarding Gaza, they're not necessarily pro-Israel. They're not, certainly not Zionist, meaning that they think that there should be a Jewish ethno-state in that area. So, nor does being so-called pro-Palestinian mean that you support Hamas. I mean, right. I've seen now recently, for instance, on Fox News, they're talking about pro-Hamas campus protesters. And I think many of those protesters have made very, very clear that they condemn and abhor the atrocities that were done on October 7th.
Yeah. So talk to us for a minute in terms of how we tease out the real conversation, because I think you nailed it in your last comment there, that this whole conflation of if you're pro-Palestinian, you're pro-Hamas, when we know that's not the case. Even prior to October 7th, there were a lot of efforts around kind of whispered in Gaza and what the Palestinian people were dealing with in their own oppression by Hamas. How do we tease out these more important conversations, whether it's what Israel needs to do? We've talked a lot about Israel in terms of Benjamin Netanyahu, million people protest over the summer in terms of his overreach and trying to reshape the high court there and really reconfigure everything. How do we get to the right conversations in this?
Well, I think, first of all, it's very, very important to make a distinction between people and their governments. Mm. One hopes that in a democracy, we can protest what our government is doing. And much of this protest is about the role of the U.S. in sponsoring the violence in Gaza. That is, we're, you know, sending them tons of money to buy arms that are dropping on the heads of the Palestinians. So that's a really important thing. So there are plenty of Israelis, in my view, not enough, who oppose the Netanyahu government in its actions against Gaza. And as you're suggesting, there are plenty of people in Palestine who would really prefer that Hamas not be the government. They feel oppressed by Hamas, or they feel in the West Bank that the PLO is not representing them. So in order for us to try to move toward democracy, it would be good for us to try to, you know, make that distinction and also to support those rational voices in these places who want to speak to each other and find some kind of reconciliation.
I think that's the crux of it right there. And it's so easy to get lost either with the headline writers or the clickbait creators that want to keep it at that high level because that's the way they can foment anger and fear and frustration. And it's good for clicks and it's good for business. But if we don't get to those, as you said, rational, reasonable voices, in each of those areas of the world, there's really no chance we can get to that kind of democracy and freedom that I think everybody thinks that's should be the goal in the end.
Yeah. And another thing I said in this piece is that using these terms, pro-Palestine, pro-Israel, pro-Palestinian, pro-Israeli, just reproduces the kind of nationalisms, the kind of, you know, either me or you, my loss is your gain is my loss. It reproduces those kinds of antagonisms, which are really at the root of these conflicts in the first place. And I think they not only reproduce them, they may perpetuate them.
Yeah, that zero-sum mindset of if they're doing better, then I'm doing worse. and therefore they're evil, not just wrong, but wrong and evil, I think, is where that usually leads us. Give us one last thing to kind of think about. What should we be thinking differently? What should we as consumers of news be doing differently as it relates to everything that's coming in relating to these conflicts?
Well, as always, we should be critical readers of the news and critical viewers of the news. And if we're ever asked to state our opinions or if we want to write to or call, you know, the makers of the news, it would be important for us to make this point that the fates of Israel and Palestine are interdependent. Israeli Jews will not be safe as long as their safety depends on the unfreedom of the Palestinians, nor will the Palestinians be safe if they have a government or if they have a militant group among them that is going to be, aggressing against Israeli Jews. So I think we really need to tell our press and use the social media that we have, which is the way we talk to the press, to critique these kinds of characterizations.
Yeah, great insight. This is a great piece in The Guardian. Judith Levine, Brooklyn-based journalist and essayist, really fantastic writing and really got me thinking through a lot of the complexities and a lot of the nuances with a lot of these conflicts that we just seem to skip over because we can have a flashy headline. Judith, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me. Bye-bye.
Again, that's Judith Levine and a great piece in The Guardian. Really exploring how we go about this. And again, it's so easy to make this the all or nothing zero sum game battle. And when we use, as Judith pointed out, when we use just those simple terms of pro-Palestine, pro-Israel, we have to make sure we can separate out the government of those areas and the people who live there because it's very, very different. And you can have great criticism and talk very specifically about those that are governing, whether that's in Palestine or in Israel. And at the same time, we have to be very compassionate about the people who live there, what they're living under, what they're dealing with, because it's hard for us to kind of wrap our heads around that, I think, in a very safe, secure space here in the state of Utah inside of a very protected United States of America. But how we have these conversations really matter. And I really loved Judith Levine's piece here in The Guardian, because it does get us past that really easy, conflate it all down into a single term that fits into a nice headline or a clickbait where you're going to be asked to either make a donation or get really angry about something. And so we've got to do it different, and we have to unpack it. We have to unravel it. It's up to us to discern it so we can make better decisions together. We'll be right back.
Think again on Inside Sources with Boyd Matheson.